Father, I just thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. I ask you, Father, that you would just impart truth to us in a way, Lord, that will make a difference in our lives. Lord, that we'll not be the same. Lord, I pray that our hearts, our attitudes be changed tonight by the living word of God. And Lord, may you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight I want to share a message with you about finding joy in your work. Do you know most people spend 40 to 60 hours a week doing work? Whether it's at a place of employment or working in the home doing housework or a combination of different types of work, doing personal business and your job at home or your job at work. Well, job at home too, right? But my point is that most people spend 40 or 60 hours a week doing work. And most people consider work to be a four-letter word. In fact, they say that a third of people in our country hate their jobs. Now, I hope that nobody here is in that third. But I also realize that there's a lot of in between hating your job and enjoying your job and finding joy in your job. And so I want to encourage you tonight. I want to help you tonight. And I really believe that there are some scriptural principles that we can apply every day in our life. It makes a difference in whether or not we find joy in our work. If you're a sincere Christian and you want to serve God, your job is probably part of the will of God for your life right now. Now, let me word that another way. Unless you're disobeying God and you're out of the will of God, then your job is part of the will of God for you right now. You know, and I'm just going to throw this in just to mess some of you up because some of you are already messed up. But anyway, here it comes. I will acknowledge that some people are out of the will of God, and usually it is because they got their eyes on money or something else instead of God. But, you know, unless you're disobeying God, and now if you say, yep, that's me, I'm out of the will of God because I went after the money and I disobeyed God, well, then you better pray and tell God that you'll get back on track. You'll do whatever he says. But I'm just telling you that where you are right now, at this moment, that you need to realize I'm here at this place, and as long as I'm here and I'm doing this job, whatever it is, I'm not supposed to be miserable. I'm not supposed to be unhappy. I'm not supposed to be hating 40 to 60 hours of my life every week. That's half of your waking hours. What a miserable life is that? And yet most people in our country, they live for Friday. Just hanging on until Friday comes. If I just make it till Friday, make it till the weekend, then we get to enjoy the weekend, then it's back to Monday. Hate to go back to work. It's not supposed to be that way. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Listen to Solomon. He says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work. Well, that sounds good. And this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. You drop down a few verses later to verse 17 and 18. It says, so I hated life. Wow, that's pretty sad. I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things that I toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And here Solomon just expresses this feeling of dissatisfaction, realizing that he does all this work and all these achievements and all amounts to nothing. And here's what I have to say about that. You have to find a higher purpose in your work. You got to find some kind of real meaning and purpose in your work. And you know what? If you're working at McDonald's cooking hamburgers, that might be a challenge. But I'm just telling you that no matter what your job, what your task, you're doing the laundry at home, I'm telling you there's a higher purpose than just you got the laundry clean. And you need to prayerfully look for that purpose and realize that God has a purpose for you. Now, here's the end of that little bit there. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, just a little further down, verse 24 through 26, he says, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. And that's what we need, church. All of us need to be able to find some kind of satisfaction in our work. This too I see is from the hand of God. Now, this is from the hand of God. Satisfaction. For without him, who can eat and find enjoyment? And to the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. Now, I just want to point out to you some key words in that passage. Satisfaction, enjoyment, happiness, even wealth. And he says this is from the hand of God. I want you to understand that all of those things come from the hand of God. But for the child of God, we need to realize that all of those things really are for us. And in our work, we need to realize that God wants to bless us. But you got to find purpose. Christopher Wren, who designed St. Paul's Cathedral in London, it's one of the most beautiful buildings in the world, wrote about the reactions of the construction workers who were asked what they were doing. And those who were bored and tired said, I'm laying bricks or I'm carrying stones. But then they found one man who took great joy in his work and just seemed to be happy the whole time he's working and working with energy. And they asked him what he was doing and he said, I'm building a great cathedral. He's doing the same work as the other guys, but he had a sense of purpose about what he was doing. Now, you know, if you listen to Solomon, you realize that even building a great cathedral in the end can leave you empty. You can achieve all kinds of things. But I'm just telling you that when you get a hold of a real purpose in your work, that then you can enjoy your work. You'll find joy in it. And it doesn't matter. I want you to understand what I'm talking about. When I say purpose, I'm not just talking about that, well, gee, Pastor, that's easy for you. Because in your ministry or your work, well, you're doing the work of the ministry. That's easy to find. I'm telling you that all of us in our work have the opportunity to find purpose. And I believe that this message tonight may help some of you do that. But I'm just telling you that if you're looking to God, He'll give purpose to your work. He'll show you how that even the most menial task and things that maybe this world looks down upon and demeans, you can find purpose in. Sometimes it just takes one little change in our perspective and it changes our whole outlook. And I just want to encourage you tonight. God doesn't want you to be miserable 40 to 60 hours a week. Now, if that's not the Lord's will and that's not what He wants, where's the glitch? I'm telling you, some of us just need a little attitude adjustment tonight, just a little understanding. The truth sets free, and I'm believing we're going to get that. Second, our attitude should be that we do what we do as unto the Lord, whatever we're doing. And I know many of you already know this verse, but isn't it amazing how a lot of times it's stuff that we know, but we're not really living it? And here it is, it's Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord and not for men. I want you to understand, if you're going to enjoy your work, you're going to have to give it your all. But you're going to have to do it as unto the Lord. As long as you have this mindset. Now listen, most people, if you nail them down, and I'm not talking about in church because we know the right answers, but if you nail them down, you say, well, why do you do this? Why do you work? Why do you put in this for? Because I got bills to pay. I need that money. That's the only reason. But I'm telling you, that won't really bring you joy as long as you just feel like you're just paying bills or you're just being able to get more stuff. It won't really bring joy to your work. But what will bring joy to your work is when you realize as a child of God that you're working for the Lord. Working for the Lord. Well, that's easy. You're talking about ministry? No, we're talking about all kinds of work. In fact, just to put this in context, no matter how bad your job is, it's better than being a slave. Some of you are thinking about it. You're not sure. Yeah, it is. You know, how would you like to work for no money and you don't have, you know, no dignity at all? You do whatever. But listen, that's who this was written to. Actually, if you read the whole passage, it's actually written to slaves to do as they work for their masters. And the scripture says that you're really working for the Lord. You do whatever you do as working for the Lord, not for men. And he says, we do it with all our heart. How can you do that? Because you're doing it for the Lord. You see, if we really believe this principle of scripture that I'm doing this for the Lord, I'm not doing this for this company, I'm not doing this for this man, I'm not doing this for a dollar, I'm doing this for the Lord, then it changes our whole attitude about the way we work and how we work. You know, in this country, we see this lazy attitude where people want to do as little as they have to. But what if we really believe we are working for the Lord? Wouldn't we find joy in working hard? The truth is, when we work half-heartedly, everything seems slow and difficult. And when you work at something with all your heart, time goes fast, and it brings a lightness to your step. I mean, I hate to say it. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy. There's just almost something fun about working hard and doing your best. Some of you just really thinking hard about this message, aren't you? Well, that's all right. I'm just telling you, we need to get it because we can't go along with this attitude in our society where people are just miserable at work and hate work and always upset, always never happy. Listen. That's not what God wants for you. Henry Giles, a 19th century preacher, said, men and women must work. That is as certain as the sun. But we may work grudgingly or we may work gratefully. We may work as people or machines. There's no work so rude that we may not exalt it. No work so impassive that we may not breathe a soul into it. No work so dull that we may not enliven it if we understand that we are doing it as service for our Lord Jesus Christ. So we work for the Lord. From that same passage, we remember He is the one who rewards. It's the very next verse. I'm going to read them together, though. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, he says that we're going to receive our reward from the Lord. And I just want you to realize that God makes everything right. You know, in this world, a lot of times we feel like that we're mistreated or, you know, things that bring such a negative attitude to so many people about their job is they feel like they are underpaid, undercompensated, or not appreciated. But if you realize that you're really working for the Lord, and in the end, He's going to reward you for your work. You don't have to be upset about that. You don't have to fret about that. You know, I'll just be real candid and honest with you tonight, and I'll just tell you that there have been times in my life, in ministry, where I got frustrated and kind of had a negative attitude, didn't feel very successful, and felt like I was underpaid. By the way, this isn't one of them. I feel very blessed. So I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about years ago. But I'm just saying, though, that there were times when when you know, didn't feel appreciated, didn't feel like I was compensated right, didn't feel successful. But during those times, I remember that my mother encouraged me about how successful I was, that money wasn't everything, and how God has blessed me, how He had blessed my family, and how He had just blessed my children. And I began to see, you know, it just helped me to refocus on the things that are really important. That, listen, see, I don't believe that this, when it speaks of an inheritance, I don't believe it's just talking about in the sweet by and by. I'm telling you, God will reward you. He will bless you. He makes up the difference. And I began to see how that God was blessing me in spite of. That it didn't matter what was going on, whether somebody didn't want me to be paid right or what. Listen, it didn't matter. They can't stop God from blessing you. And I just want you to realize it's the Lord that rewards. And so when we get our attitude right, that we're working for God. And He's the one. You see, He never misses anything. He sees everything. You know, you might be doing somebody else's work. You might be doing extra work and wonder, was anybody ever see? God sees, and He'll make it right. He's the one that rewards. Fourth, to find joy in our work, we have to be grateful and not complain. You know, I think I've already kind of alluded to that a little bit, but I think it's really important we get this one, because this is one of the ones that's so prevalent in our society. Our culture's just saturated with this. I mean, where people just complain all the time. Even church staffs do it. You can go to a minister's conference and people want to sit around the table and complain. I substitute taught a few years back, went into the teacher's lounge, and they all just came in and all just complained the whole entire time. Now, I know none of our teachers are that way, but I'm just telling you about the teachers that were there at that school. They just complained the whole entire time. And most break rooms, they're filled with complaints, and people just can't. You can't enjoy your job if you're complaining. It will never happen. In fact, it just infects your whole entire life. You got to get that old complaining spirit out. Don't have anything to do with it. This is what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks even when you're working at a job you don't like. Well, it says in all circumstances, I think that's covered. In all circumstances, how are you ever going to find joy in this job? Because you're going to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, I think an attitude of gratitude goes a long way in helping you get to the place where you enjoy your work. First of all, you just got to be thankful you got a job. You know, and a lot of people aren't really. Now, they almost got that way. People started getting that way. When a lot of people were getting laid off and fired. And we got, you know, 10% unemployment. What if we had 50% unemployment? How many would be glad to have a job? We'd be thankful then, wouldn't we? You see, so much of life is perspective, and we're just looking at it wrong when we're not grateful for our job, not thankful for the blessings that we have. Remember the ungrateful attitude of the wicked servant in the parable of the talents? Jesus tells us about this wicked servant who hid. Jesus calls him wicked and lazy. He hid what he was entrusted with in the ground and did nothing with it. And when the Lord returned, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow. Now, just get this picture. A talent was a huge sum of money, and his Lord had entrusted him with this huge sum of money. But now he says, you're a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow. didn't sow, how ungrateful. Here he gave him an opportunity, and he just, instead of acknowledging an opportunity and being grateful for the opportunity that he was given, instead he complains and he makes an accusation against his Lord. And I'm just telling you that a lot of times people do the same thing in their job situation. We don't even realize we're doing it, but we have opportunity, and instead of seeing the opportunity that we have, we focus on the negatives and we gripe and complain, and it causes us to miss the opportunities that we did have. But I'm just telling you, even just the day that you decide, I'm talking about you decide. Let's learn this. Don't listen to the culture that you can't help how you feel. That is pure garbage. You help how you feel by changing your thought life. And if you're feeling all complaining and griping, you ain't thinking right. You need to get your thoughts in line with the Word of God. Start thinking on the things that are pure and just and lovely and true and holy, the things that are praiseworthy. I'm just telling you, you got to stop that complaining if you're ever going to find joy in your work. Be grateful to God. Philippians 2:14 and 15 says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe." I'm telling you, we shine like stars in this generation when we are grateful and not complainers. And you know what? I just, see, here's a little purpose for you. You see, in your work, you glorify God. Jesus said, men will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You say, well, good works, he's not just talking about, you know, our physical labor. No, certainly not. He's talking about something more than that. But I'm telling you that in our physical labor, our work, whatever we do, people can see those kind of good works that really do glorify God. Listen, it has to be like this, though. We need to be those who do everything without complaining and arguing. Then we shine. Fifth, if you're going to enjoy your work, you got to let Jesus be part of your work. Always leave room and opportunity for God in your workplace. I'm not talking about, I always have to clarify stuff like this. I know. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about not doing your work in the name of ministry. Listen, when people do that kind of stuff, it doesn't help the cause of Christ. It brings reproach on the name of Christ. But I'm also, that's the rare exception. What is so common is believers leave their Bible, their Christianity at the house. You don't have to. My wife and my son both worked in the school district in secular schools. Both of them kept their Bible right out on their desk for the whole entire world to see. Don't tell me you can't take a Bible to work. I took my Bible when I worked at the bank and everybody else was reading their Harlequins or some silly magazine. That's not a great testimony. It's just a little thing. But I'm just telling you, you got to be willing to open the door for the Lord to get into your workplace. You know, you got to be willing to pray maybe during your break. You got to be willing to talk to somebody about the Lord. I don't know how it is for everybody, but I know when I carried a Bible and I had people asking me about the Lord, I didn't have to start the conversations. And when they saw my lifestyle, they said, "I want to know how come you don't do like these other young people." I'm just saying we need to leave room for the Lord in our workplace. It'll bring joy in your workplace. You'll find great joy in your workplace. Listen, you let Jesus show up. You know, there's a great example of this in Scripture. It's Luke chapter 5 where Peter and his friends have fished all night and caught nothing. Boy, that sounds like fun, doesn't it? I'm not much of a true fisherman because I don't like to fish. I like to catch. If you fish all night and caught nothing, to me, that's just miserable. In fact, I give it about an hour. If I ain't catching, I'm done. Let's go do something fruitful. You know, I just don't have the patience to fish all night and catch nothing. Good thing I'm not employed as a fisherman, right? But, you know, fishing is one of those kind of jobs that you got to either love or you really going to hate, because it's not all roses. In fact, if you've been around dead fish very much, you know it doesn't smell like roses, right? But like all jobs, even if you love it, I mean, it's got its hard places, its difficulties. I knew some guys when I pastored in Oklahoma. I knew some guys who were fishing guides, and they get up at 4 a.m. I don't like that part. And they go catch their own bait, you know, at 4 a.m. And so by 7, when they pick up their customers at the dock, they've already been at it for 3 hours. And then they load up their customers who they, you know, some of them, at least, they wait on them like they're five-year-old kids. I mean, they're grown men, but they wait on them like they're five-year-old kids. And once they get out and they finally find some fish, and then they, you know, as fast as they can, especially if they're catching good, you know, as fast as they can, they're baiting everybody's hook and taking everybody's fish off and, you know, doing everything for them. And a lot of the times they get finned and hooked, got blood running down their hands, and they don't even take note of it because it's just part of their job and they're so busy. Then when they get done with all that fun, they get back to the dock and they get to clean 50 or 60 fish, and that's really a neat job. The life of a fisherman. Sounds pretty good, right? Well, you know, Simon Peter's wasn't exactly like that, but it wasn't too far from that either. And they fished all night and caught nothing. We're going to read Luke 5, 1 through 3 first. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. So Jesus used Simon's boat as a platform to speak from. You know, he didn't exactly ask Peter. He just kind of knew that he was welcomed there. And I'm just making the point to you. We just got to make the Lord really welcome, open the door in our workplace. We all have some kind of a boat. It's where we spend our time during the day. And a lot of the time, that's in our workplace. Sometimes people have the attitude, well, Jesus, you're welcome in my boat anytime. Just sit down and be quiet because I got work to do. But, yeah, you don't mind Jesus being along as long as he's a silent partner, right? 1 Corinthians 10:26. Here's an interesting scripture when you put things in this like, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We need to realize that it's not really our boats, not really our jobs, not really our house. Listen, it all really belongs to him and we're just stewards of it. But I'm just saying we need to open the door and allow God into our workplace. Someday, want to do something big for God. But you know, that depends on how we do the little things right now. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. We won't be trusted with really important things unless we're faithful in the little things. Let's read on in the story there, Luke chapter 5, verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep, to the deep water, let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. So if we allow Jesus into our workplace, he'll make us rich. Well, that's not really what the focus is here, but he certainly, you know, the Lord can bless your workplace. I mean, why would we not want to involve God in our workplace and bring the Lord in our workplace? And as I said, I'm not talking about offending your employer by, you know, you're so busy with the ministry that you're not doing your job. In fact, if I really believe this. If you have a great attitude, And you are the hardest worker there because you work unto the Lord. You do whatever you do heartily is unto the Lord and not unto me. I mean, you're a hard worker and you're grateful and you have a great attitude. I'm just telling you, your boss isn't going to mind if you talk about the Lord a little bit. He probably want a whole bunch more like you. Okay. I want you to realize Peter doesn't say anything about the catch of fish. Instead, he is blown away about the revelation of who this man is that's standing before him. He says, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I just want you to know that revelation of Jesus Christ changed him. He saw the Lord like he'd never seen him before. And you know what? If we allow the Lord in our everyday workplace. See, we talk about how the Lord, oh, it's not just a Sunday religion. It's for every day. Listen, it doesn't get any more every day than in your workplace. And when we let the Lord show up in our workplace, I'm just telling you, you can have an experience with God in your workplace. You can see God and know God in a brand new way that you never saw Him before in your workplace. It might not happen every day, but I'm telling you, when you have an experience like Peter did, it'll change you forever. But it never would have happened if he didn't allow Jesus in his boat to start with. But even in the worst job and the worst circumstances, you can find the Lord there if you look for Him. By the way, best day fishing ever. Simon Peter's. Best day fishing ever. Looked like the worst ever. Fished all night, caught nothing. Turned into the best day ever fishing. 6, we have to realize Jesus can change our situation at any time. Listen, I'm going to keep this one short and simple. A lot of people don't like their job because they feel trapped. They feel like there's no way out. There's no way I could ever get another job. Especially sometimes as we get older, we think, well, you know, it's too late now. I can't do a new career. I'm just stuck here. And I just want you to realize that nothing's too hard for God. And here's my first example. One day, Peter is a fisherman. The next day, Peter is a fisher of men. It happened just like that. One day, Joseph is in the prison. The next day, he's in the palace. It happened just like that. And I'm not trying to, you know, give you some kind of false hopes. I'm just trying to get you to see that we serve an almighty God. And you don't ever need to feel trapped that you hate your job because you're stuck here. No, you need to work at that place with joy, knowing that the God who has all the power, who exalts and humbles, who lifts up and puts down, who promotes, He can promote you. He can move you in an instant. It's not hard for Him. So you find joy in your work because you know the Lord can change it at any time. You know, you just get that old cat off your back that you're stuck here forever. You just get that off your back. I'm telling you, it can bring some joy to your heart knowing that, you know, God can change my situation today. This job isn't forever. It's for right now. I'm being faithful in little. And last, I almost missed this one and it was very foolish of me. If you're going to find joy in your work, you got to keep the Sabbath. And I've talked about this just here and there over the years. You know, I mentioned this principle, but this command. But it is the only one of the Ten Commands that Christians believe we don't have to keep. And it's so strange. Nobody would say it's okay to commit adultery. It's okay to commit murder. It's okay to lie, bear false witness. Nobody would say it's okay to take the Lord's name in vain. Nobody would say that it's okay to have other gods before the Lord. Nobody would say any of the other 10 or 9 would be okay to break. But when you say the Sabbath, they say, oh, well, that's not for us. Well, what about the other 10? They're not for us either then, right? Because they all came together. And I'm just telling you that if you're going to find joy in your work, you got to have a day of rest. It is a biblical principle that God laid down. He started it, not under the law. He started it in Genesis himself. He worked 6 days and he rested. Oh, and now you know we're in the New Testament. I know. But you're still supposed to have a day of rest. In fact, Jesus said, you see, religious people want to make the Sabbath all weird. No, the Sabbath is about you having a day of rest. Jesus said, man was not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. See, people look at this all wrong. I have to take a day off. You get to take a day off. The world, this is part of what's wrong with our culture right now in America. See, 50, 70 years ago, this was accepted. All right, 50 years ago, you couldn't go to the mall because it was closed. And now we're all like, oh, Chick-fil-A, they're awesome because they let their employees go to church. They close on Sunday. But I'm just telling you that if you want to find joy in your work, you need a day off. You need a day where you're away from it. Now, I'll tell you, I'm a hypocrite standing up here preaching this right now because Carmen and I have not really figured this out yet. We're trying. But Sunday is not our day off, just so you know. I don't know if you knew that, but that's not our day off. In fact, usually Monday, I'm somewhat of a zombie until about noon. But here's even on Monday, though, you know, we try to take Monday completely off, and it just almost never works because I don't want to make you paranoid, but I'm just telling you, when somebody calls or there's a need or there's a meeting that needs to happen, I haven't gotten there yet where I just say, sorry, not available today. I know a lot of pastors have, and maybe I just have to learn the hard way, but if you're saying, oh, I can't take a day off, hey, listen, I understand. I know what you're saying, but I'm also telling you that if we want to find real joy in our work, we need to obey God in the Sabbath. But let me just give you a little scripture. That's always a good thing, right? Exodus 16:23, he says, this is what the Lord said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. You need to see, Sabbath is not this weird religious thing. It is about a day of rest. Exodus 31:15, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall be put to death. You see, God was really serious about this. And then Mark 2:27, the one I quoted to you earlier, he said, this is what Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So who was the Sabbath made for? How about God? Was it made for God? Say no. We just read it, so you know the right answer. I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm trying to get you really sure of the right answer, that you know. See, the Sabbath isn't about God saying, oh, you can't. Listen, the Sabbath was made for man. Why? Why do we let society take that away from us? Why do we let the almighty dollar drag that out of our hands? Listen, that belongs to us. That day of rest belongs to the child of God. And if you want to find joy in your work, you see, when you've had a true day of rest, everything looks different. It's not your physical body needs it, especially if you do manual labor, but much more so than a physical thing. Listen, it is about your soul. You need a day of rest. Listen, and when you take that day of rest, you are going to be more effective, more fruitful, get more done in a shorter amount of time. God will be honored and glorified, and you'll be blessed. And I'm just telling you, you want to find joy in your work? Make sure that you take a day of rest. Well, that's what I got tonight. I know there's more there, but that's all I had for you tonight. And I just believe, listen, if nothing else, you just start praying about it, that God wants you to be happy. He wants you to enjoy your work, and He wants you to be able to find joy there all the time, and I believe you can. So stand with me, let's pray. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for every person here, and I thank you, Lord, for the jobs that they have, Lord. I just pray you bless them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd open doors for them. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them with raises and promotions. Bless them, Lord, with new opportunities. Father, I pray for that one who doesn't have a job right now, or there's someone who desperately needs a different job, a better job. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that as their heart is turned towards you and they look to you and trust in you, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will open the right door of opportunity for them. Bless them, Father. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. Lord, that you'll prepare the way. Lord, whatever needs to happen, Lord, we just trust you to do it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just ask that you forgive us for times, Lord, where we have been carnal about our workplace. Lord, times where we've been complaining. And Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that there just be a different attitude amongst your people, Lord. And Lord, as we go to work, that we'll find joy in our work. Lord, we'll just expect that and look for that and believe for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you need prayer tonight, we'd be glad to pray with you. We'll have prayer partners or myself. We'd be glad to pray with you. But I just encourage you, go in the joy of the Lord. Amen.